We left off Hebrews 12. Let's pick up at 12. I think that's kind of where we left off at. And then we'll see how far we can progress. Father, we thank you tonight for this privilege and opportunity once again. We thank you for just the privilege of meeting together. We thank you that we've all showed up in our reasonable strength and our right minds. We pray tonight that our hearts and minds might be open and clear to receive your word as we continue in Hebrews. We pray for an understanding, of, first of all, the historical application and also a practical application if we can do that. We thank you again for the time we spend here. We pray always that it's for your glory and for our edification. And as we go forward, we just thank you in advance for what you do through your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. 12:12. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. And we know that the Hebrew writer is preparing the Hebrews to go forward, to move on. Their opposition is certainly coming. And they have, where he says, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Because he's saying right in verse 11 that the chastening is coming. The hard time is coming. And if there's a spiritually weak person, he may not make it. You know, you pick up that theme in Matthew where he says, he that endureth to the end, the same what? Shall be saved. Well, if he doesn't endure, if he's feeble and weak, he'll be turned out of the way. And persecution will do that. Pressure will do that. It'll turn you out of the way. And on top of that, the bad doctrine, which is the law, is I'm sorry. Huh? Oh, I'm sorry. That's where's that?
Persecution of bad doctrine.
Yeah, in their case, where the law in that time, it'll be bad doctrine because God has moved on from that, and the Jews that'll be putting the pressure on, it'll be pressure for them to go back to the law. You know what's interesting is when we look at this, what does this sound like? Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, verse 13, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. What does that sound like? Something we talk about all the time.
I had an idea till you said that.
Different doctrine.
Different doctrine?
Yeah, like falling from grace.
Yeah. Falling from grace? I'll read it again.
Not recognizing.
I'll put emphasis on the and make straight.
Yeah, the Lord talked about
follow the right doctrine. Right?
Yep. Straight. Man, he's hot. He's hot. And make straight. There you go. Rightly divided. You know what? That's a principle for them. They're going to have to do that. They're going to have to rightly divide the truth that they have. Because you can't, look, sure we did the law, but that was then. He says, now you have, if you don't make it straight now, you're going to turn out of the way. If you're spiritually weak and you go back to that which God has left, that's like Paul said this. He said, watch this. 2 Timothy 2:15.
Or if you say that, I've got a question.
Ed beat you first. He had a question. He says, verse 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, making straight the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. In another passage, Paul said this. He says they have swerved from the truth. Do you know that? I think it was 1 Timothy. Where he said they have swerved from the truth.
Well, something that hit me right then is, so for Paul, it was wrong to say that the resurrection has already happened, right? But for the Hebrews at this time, it's going to be wrong to say that it hasn't happened yet.
It has not happened yet, right? That you have to make it straight, don't you? 2 Timothy 2:18. Yes. No, we said it. We just read that one. No. Okay, Karen.
So, just talking about, I mean, you preface this whole thing that the writer's preparing the listeners to go forward, that there's hard times coming, to make straight the path for your feet, that they need to ride the divide, don't go back to the law. So, then what in the world was James doing when Paul went to Jerusalem and he was with all these men that were zealous for the law? Were they just a bunch of what?
And oh, when they went to Jerusalem, okay, where he said, you see how many brethren there are that which believe, and they're all zealous of the law.
Yeah.
And he said, well, do this.
Do this, and, you know.
Now, think about it.
What they've heard is nothing.
It's early. Remember that it's early in the ministry, and pretty much at that point, all Paul has is a man can be justified without the deeds of the law. They only equated that with the Gentiles. That's why they said, well, this is what we recommend. Don't trouble the Gentiles that are among the Jews, just so they don't eat blood and fornication.
Right. And Moses of old is read every Sabbath day in the synagogue.
And so Paul, being a fixer,
I thought he was a provoker at that point.
He said, oh, okay. Because he picks different spots. You know, even that for the Jews, he was ready to take a vow, mm-hmm. knowing that it meant nothing.
Okay, well, you're going down a path I wasn't. Here's what I'm trying to get at. The writer of Hebrews, to his audience, is obviously talking to Israel after either some additional knowledge or whatever than when James is leading the church in Jerusalem, right?
Right.
Okay. Do we have any information on that transition?
When you say any information?
Well, to understand, like, okay, again, you said Hebrews, the writers preparing the listeners to go forward, so Here's the doctrine of Hebrews going forward, and then but you have James, who was stuck in the in the law program. Mm-hmm. So, like, how does Hebrews fit into, you know, like Acts is a book of transition. How does Hebrews fit into that transition?
I look at it this way. Yeah, I got you. Because where I see Hebrews would pick up at is right after seven. Seven-ish. Mm-hmm. Because they still have to go forward.
Right. In other words, like if the mystery didn't happen,
yeah,
this would have picked up right there at Acts 7. But you have James in Acts, what, 19?
15.
19 is where Paul goes to Jerusalem.
And I see them as Paul is gradually getting more information.
Uh-huh.
That's his revelation. That's, you know, when he goes to Galatia, he goes to Peter, or James and John, and he says, "And I went up by revelation." What did they know before he went up by revelation?
What did James and...
Yeah, what did the three know?
The Jewish doctrine plus Christ.
they knew that they'd been taught that the tribulation was coming and to prepare for it, and they also knew that it hadn't come the time frame they were expecting.
What did they know about Paul's message?
Nothing.
Okay. What is Paul's message? He went up to communicate to them what?
That doctrine.
Which is what?
Christ.
Which means no what?
No law.
And he said, "I went up by revelation and I communicated unto them that gospel that I preach among the Jews."
No.
Among the Gentiles. And I did it privately, lest I
run in vain.
So Peter's like, you know what? He's right.
We're going to be saved the same as they are.
James is like, I see it, but
they all came in the right hands of fellowship to go
to the Gentiles.
But
what they didn't know is Paul, being the due time testifier, he says, "You know what? This is for everybody." Because there's no distinction now.
What he said was, what was entrusted to me, to the heathen, the same, to Peter to the circumcision, the same was entrusted unto me to the heathen.
He said that he that wrought effectually
right.
in me.
Right.
That means that, because I did signs, miracles, and
right.
wonders too.
Right.
So it's not like I just made this up and went out among the Gentiles. I was sent.
And he also says heathen at that point, as if to imply that the unbelieving Jews were fair game for him too.
That's when he left out of there. Paul knows that there's no difference. Peter, the Lord prepared him. It's different when you are just introduced to it and you got to kind of get your head around it. Like Peter, he says, rise and eat.
Not so, Lord.
Peter, rise and eat. Two times. So, and even when he realized that, okay, I should go. And he goes, and then when he goes to Galatia, and they're eating, and he knows. He knows. But he said, but when that certain came from
Judea,
he said, from James.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
He said he withdrew himself.
Yes. And Barnabas, too, was carried along yeah. with their dissimulation.
No, that's, listen, we in Hebrews, he says, look, make straight the paths, lest that which is weak and lame be what? Turned out of the way.
Don't be a stumbling block.
don't tell me that pressure is not on. I don't, even if they got it, they, Paul said, look, this is the revelation. They said, yep, we see it. And sure enough, Peter, when he's sitting there eating and he sees the Jews come up, with all that grace in his mind, he gets up and leaves. Yeah. Don't tell me the pressure is not great.
He doesn't want confrontation.
Look, don't, I see it all the time. You know what? When I go into these places and they say, you want to highlight the lesson, and I know I got to contradict what this guy's saying. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, oh, Lord, can I waffle on this one? Can I? Is there any way I could smooth this over?
Be bold.
And it's just me. I don't have no cheering section in there. You know, just speak the truth. And you know what? I have to make my mind up. Is, am I going to say it or am I not?
Please, man, or do I please?
And you know what? I got to say, sometimes I soft pedaled. Sure. It wasn't so hard, you know, because I don't want to shut the door.
Right.
So I pick. You know, sometimes I, like my pastor say, you always save the big stick for later. Sometimes, you know what? I don't have to. I just keep the big stick in the bag. I don't need the big stick now. So I can poke them with it. Just poke them with a pencil. Mm-hmm. Were you talking about Sunday? You don't have to go for the idol. Right. You know, I know he has an idol, but I don't have to reach in his bag, his idol bag, all the time, do you?
No.
So
hopefully you lead him and he'll take them out himself at some point.
You hope that.
Yeah.
So how come we don't give those, they're Bible characters just like we are.
Mm-hmm.
We don't give them any room for growth or error. We, you know what? Paul goes up by revelation. Oh, everybody's on board. Bam.
Except for
and James is like, look, they're zealous, so am I. He said, they like the law, so do I. He said, nah, do this. This is what we're going to do. To Paul. Now, he's telling Paul, this is what we're going to do. You go in and take a vow with these men. So everybody will know, all the Jews, they'll know that with this thing they're hearing about you not with the law, they'll know it's nothing. And Paul said, yeah, okay.
I'll do that.
Now, what is Paul? You know Paul knows.
It's nothing.
It's nothing. And he says, sure, I can do that as long as they listen. And he's in there. And you know what I like? Just little things like this. 7-day purification period.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Before that seventh day.
Huh?
Before that
before,
seventh
day. You know what? Before that seventh day, what happens?
Well, some of the Jews get all, this is the guy that's going around preaching this other stuff. And
he brought a Gentile in here.
And he kicks it and they put him out, don't they?
Yeah, they get him, they drag him out of there. Mm-hmm. But she said some of the Jews.
Well, guess the ones that are zealous.
Do you think it's a coincidence that the Lord didn't let him go through the whole 7 days?
Mm-hmm.
If he had he couldn't write in that same time frame, if I build again the things that I once destroyed. If he had went through that whole purification period, the Lord said, you know what? He got to get out of there. Because I can't have him keeping a vow.
What I meant by some of the Jews, it says, but the Jews who believe not. So there's a qualifier in there.
So.
So he would be given strength to the law by completing that.
He would. Now, you know what I like? This is what we talked about before, about the seven. Huh? No, it's not. It was to swear.
Uh-huh.
Right. So it's, I mean, that's how serious, like what God says, because he could swear by no greater, because he could seven by no greater, he sevened by himself. Now, Paul, look, if he had went through the seven, you could say, well, it means nothing.
To us, but to them.
To us. But it's a principle. It's God's principle. And he says, no, so I can't let you go to seven. I can't let you go to whole seven. So yeah, you got to go. You got to get out of there. So, but I ask you a question to give you an answer. Is you have to give them room to grow towards where they need to be doctrinally also. And another thing that we have to remember is when we're reading these things, we don't know the time that elapsed in these areas. We can only guess. And we know people that's years and they haven't dropped all the religious baggage. Why you want James to drop it in like 2 weeks? Or whatever he had. 2 years. 12 years. You know, I don't know.
Right.
Okay. But we know the Hebrew writer said, make straight those paths, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. And I thought he used that example to make straight that which is lame. And I think about, you know what, if it's crooked, right? And how do you make it straight, right? You have to straighten it out. And I thought about what Peter said, that those who don't recognize Paul's message, he said they rest the scriptures. They rest the scriptures, which means that they're all, to them, they're all what? They're all twisted up. So he says to them, yeah, it's like trying to unravel something and they never get it right. But for us, we know it, we have it straightened out. We know where it fits. You know, you can kind of lay them all out. Make them straight.
1
Timothy
1:6
is the verse
mm-hmm.
you're looking for.
Yeah, I've got it right here.
You want to read that?
Said
what?
Yeah, you probably want to read more than 6. 6 is from which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling.
There you go. Desiring to be what?
Teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm.
Sound like resting to me.
Sure does.
You know, that's, and I think about, it was something that, when you have, the only thing I think of is shoestrings, where you kind of unravel them, if they all tied up together, unravel them, and then lay them out side by side, or you dividing them, you're straightening them out, you're dividing them, and back to Hebrews, he says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Looking diligently to what?
To the doctrine.
Lest any man fail of the grace of God. Now, I think the distinction we made last week is for them to fail the grace of God is they don't utilize grace at all as the system. As a system, they go back to the law. And I use the example, we fail grace by not utilizing it. I would say as an escape, but as a sustainer,
as a rest,
or you know, so even as a, or like I say, as a sustainer, like Paul said, you know, his grace is what?
Sufficient
in the time of weakness. And if we don't, or even in the time of strength, where instead of you trying to do it, you rest on His grace. And we can fail. You fail grace this way. We do is when we try to do it. When you try to work it out, you try to do it, and you find out, like when Paul he's or in Paul's case, he wanted to escape God's will. I don't say escape,
he wanted to do it His way.
He wanted to do it His way. He wanted to do it His way. The Lord had already told him. He says, "When I chose you," what did he say?
I was going to show you how much he's going to have to suffer for my name's sake.
How great things! And you know, Paul got down the line. And he says, "That's great enough." And the Lord says, "Says who? Says you?" He says, "You have to fill up this that are left behind." And he says, "Well, in that case,
therefore
will I glory in my infirmities." So, but anyway, he says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. No, nothing will make you, I'll say nothing. When you have to suffer, it'll bring up some bitter feelings in you.
I'm dealing with my mother right now. She's suffering, and boy, she's bitter.
Whew. Why me? And it's more like, why not? Why not you? What makes you exempt? And the Lord has already told him. He said, "It's coming." He says, "Looking diligently, lest any fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled." You know, when the Hebrews came out of Egypt, it was roots of bitterness springing up. And they, as soon as it got a little rough to them, they didn't really realize how good they had it. They were led by night, cooled by day.
They put too much stock in those leeks and garlic.
Too much. And the Lord,
he's been preaching the prosperity theology to them. It wasn't quite turning out.
Bring us out of here to die.
Then he just delivered you. Listen, we're on our way. We're on our way there. Can you hang in there till we get there?
We're on our way and we don't hang in too well.
Like that movie, are we there yet? That's what they every time they stopped. Are we there yet? No. I'm hungry.
Well,
are we there yet? I'm thirsty. Are we there yet? I'm hot. And they become bitter. Didn't they become bitter? Say, I wish we were back in Egypt.
Yeah.
Back to the old system. Back to bondage. That's the same parallel up here when the Hebrews say, "I wish we were back under the law. We wouldn't be suffering under the law."
Little faith and little patience.
You know, in John, when the Jews, they went along with the program. Because the scripture said they went along lest they should be put out of the synagogue. They didn't want the pressure. They wanted to be inclusive. That's not a diligent look, is it? There, he's looking diligent lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Now, that's interesting. When I saw that, I said, boy, I said, the Lord, you dropped that right in there. I won't say he dropped it in there because it's a progression. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau. Now, if you know about Esau, what did he do? Well, he just told you.
Sold his birthright for a bowl of wells.
He sold his birthright for a bowl of
pottage.
Yeah. Because he was hungry.
Because he didn't value the birthright. He valued his hunger.
He didn't endure the hard spot. He didn't endure the hard spot. And because he didn't endure the hard spot, the scriptures said he was a fornicator and a profane person. It's kind of harsh, isn't it? Why did the scripture use those words? Why did it say he's a fornicator and a profane person? Okay. Idolatry?
I mean, when the Old Testament speaks of fornication, usually it's in the context of spiritual idolatry.
Mm-hmm.
It was spiritual fornication to prefer the pottage over the birthright.
Over the birthright.
Yeah.
And what he did...
Well, he devalued that birthright. He trodden it underfoot for a bowl of.
He said, but you know, I did think about is he gave up the inheritance that was his. It was rightfully his. The inheritance was his if he could have endured. And it's like the Hebrews, he says, like, watch it. He said, watch out. You can lose the inheritance.
It almost reminds me of where it talks about and counted the blood of the covenant an unholy thing. It's like it was not worth more than just a bowl of soup he'd consume in 10 minutes.
Short-sighted. And then when he thought about it, he wanted it back.
Sure. He wasn't hungry anymore.
You know, once that little test spell's over, now that's the same, huh? No pain. That's a principle. But he's saying now he had it. It was his. He gave it up, and. He said that scripture called him a fornicator or a profane person. And that's the very reason. He traded the spiritual for the physical. He traded the eternal for the temporal. And he says to the Hebrews, don't be like that. Don't be like Esau, who sold it. For what? He sold his birthright for a morsel of meat.
Which is what Israel will have to deal with in the second half of the tribulation. Taking the mark in order to eat.
For a morsel of meat. And, you know, I thought about when Hagar was expelled and her son. Mm-hmm. Who took care of them?
The Lord.
They were in the wilderness. That's, if the Lord did that for them, and he told the Hebrews, he says, I'll lead you again like I did in the days of old when I brought you through the wilderness. He says, I'll do that again while they're out there. It's you believe that? He says, for 17, for ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, when he was rejected, listen, for ye know how that afterward, after what?
After he had sold his birthright for
a boy. And you said it. You said it. You said, after he wasn't hungry anymore. He went back for it. When he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. You know, he went back to his father when he saw that he lost it, and he went back, he said, Father, huh? What?
I want it back.
Well, he said, bless me too. And he said, I already gave it up. Now, Jacob did his part too. But he went back. But there was no place found for repentance. There was no opportunity to go back. Karen just said that. Paul said this, if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. He said, but I'm persuaded better things of you. Because if it's impossible for them who have tasted of the heavenly gift, if they turn away to renew themselves again unto repentance, that'll be it.
That was their advantage and their disadvantage, right? They had tasted of it, but now they're being held accountable.
Right. They saw, you know what? They saw those things in front of them. They saw the powers of the world to come. They saw a foretaste of it. And he said, if you turn back now, you give up the inheritance. And you can't come back. That's why when people read Hebrews, they think that we could be saved and lost. Right. Because they plug back here. And they said, see, you can lose it. And he said, no, they didn't lose it. They never got it. He said, you have it and can never lose it. I was telling them last night, I said, listen, I said, if nothing else is, believe the record about salvation. If you get nothing else, you know, put this on, that it's a gift. And when you're saved, you're sealed. There's nothing you can do about that. You know, I thought when the king had, in Daniel's day, when King Nebuchadnezzar had threw him in the lion's den, he had made the decree. And he sealed it. And they said, you know Daniel's in there. And he says, oh, no. Well, he didn't say that. I'm paraphrasing it. And he says, he rushed to the edge when it was all over. And he says, Daniel, you there? He said, I'm okay. I'm okay, King. But they said, he said, I cannot change it. He says, I've already given the decree. So I can't change it. He said,
the one that asked for the head of John the Baptist, he already decreed whatever
she wanted.
Mm-hmm, you couldn't change it.
And the Lord, if he says, look, when I save you, I'll seal you to the day of redemption.
That's it.
You sure? The Lord... he said, the foundation of the Lord standeth sure. The Lord knows them that are his. He said, the foundation of the Lord standeth sure. having this seal. In Timothy, the Lord knoweth those that are his. The seal is the Spirit. The Corinthians, he called it the earnest of the Spirit, which is the earnest of our what?
Inheritance.
He said, you going in, even if it's dragging, kicking and dragging you in. I know my uncle said one time, he said, when the rapture comes, he's going to have to yank some of us twice because we're going to be so rooted in the world. And I was like, some truth in that. But for Esau, he said, be careful for them. He said, lest there be any profane or fornicator or profane person as Esau. He says, 4:17, for you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, excuse me, when he was rejected, for he found no place or no opportunity of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. For ye are not, see that four? There's that four again. He's getting ready to further explain something. For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the words should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But ye are come unto the Mount Sion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. Now, he's given a contrast. You know how the law came in, right? Do you remember how the law came in?
Yeah, from the mount.
From the mount? Yeah. Right.
Fire.
Right. Well, before, when they came through and they were failing all, they were failing grace back then. When I say failing grace,
they failed to recognize God's provision.
They
in everything.
So, I got to say it. How many times did they fail?
Ten
times. So, huh? Yeah, thank you. She said honor. That's right. And the Lord, after all that, the Lord says, can you do everything I want?
Sure. All that the Lord has said.
And as soon as he said that, he says, okay. Tell him Moses to be ready against the third day. Come up to the mount. And this is what he said. Come up to the mount where I can talk to them. But draw the line. Man nor beast can cross this line. If they do, kill them. That's quite different, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That's the old... He's preparing them for the old covenant. Limited access. Limited grace. Limited long suffering. He says, now you not come to that mount for these Hebrews. He says it was on smoke and fire, and they, you know what? They was like, tell them don't talk to us. Tell them to stop talking. Tell Moses. And Moses said, I'm scared too. He said,
I don't want to go tell him that. I'm scared too.
And yet, you know what? And yet Moses had access. He said, but you are coming to, verse 22, you are coming to Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and into an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. And he's giving them a big contrast. He said, you're not coming to the law of performance, to the conditional mount. He said, you're coming to this mount now. This is the law, the Mount Sinai was the closed meeting. You know, it was the members only. And it was a member of one. That was Moses. And he said, this mount is the what? It's the general assembly. The church of the firstborn, the heavenly Jerusalem, and it's an innumerable company. Everybody's welcome to this one. And you think about that, you look at that, and you say, you know, we call it, I don't know if you ever been in the religious system, obviously, they call the regular assembly the general assembly. You ever, did they? Mm-hmm. Why do they call it the general assembly?
Because they think they're Israel.
It's
because everybody goes there, all ages, all.
Everybody. Because, yeah. You know what, we split up. You know, the women have a Sunday school, the men have a Sunday school, kids have a Sunday school, and they go into their separate areas. But the general assembly,
everybody
comes in, they come in and they sit
together.
They sit together and they sit where they want to sit. The Lord said, now this assembly, he says, you can't come in here. This is not an assembly. He said, this mount is off limits for one man. He said, now Moses, you come up here. Everybody else?
Stay away.
That's the law. He says, to the church, to the general assembly, 23, and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. You know, those who have already died were Paul, the Hebrew writer called it the cloud of witnesses. Seeing that we're encompassed by so great a cloud of witnesses. He said, those are the spirits of just men made perfect. Spirit of just men made perfect. I'm trying to think of how far I want to go with this. But the perfect, we'll just cut right to it. The perfect, in this case, is their struggle is over. No more trials. No more temptations for them. All those cruel mockings and all those things that they listed in what chapter was that?
Sawn asunder and living in holes and
yeah,
and naked.
And remember, I don't know if I did, but I'll do it now. Is when he lists those things, there was they paired them up, 17 things in there, which is the number for inheritance, for heir. And he said, he said this, God having provided some better thing for us, that they, without us, should not be made perfect. He said, they can't experience the inheritance without us. But in here, he said this, that they are just men, what?
perfect.
Made perfect. Oh, wait a minute now. Either they're not or they are. Which one is it?
Yes.
Yes. He said they're not made perfect yet because they're still waiting.
Because we're still here.
Well, not just us, but there's still other Hebrews. Remember that, and that we read that verse in Revelation where it said that, how long, Lord, before we set up the kingdom? And he said, just wait a little while, because some of your brethren have to what? They still have to be killed. They still have to suffer death. Well, he said some of them still have to be what? Perfected. He said, you are ready. Huh? They have to witness.
Martyr.
Yeah, right, right. Star. Get a sticker. But they haven't, they can't be perfect in a sense where they experience the end of the kingdom. They can't be perfect until their brethren are perfected. You know, to give you another example, the Lord said this when he talked about Herod, where he said, tell that fox that I work today and tomorrow, and the third day I will be perfected. Mm-hmm. Well, what happens on the third day?
You're right.
Yeah.
Resurrection.
And he said they're not perfect yet, but they will be. I mean, yet they are, because the struggle for them is over. And this, the desired end is this, is Romans 8. Just at the start of that. Started at 28. And we know, we can quote this, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be what? Conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now, that verse said that they are to be conformed to the image of his son. His son is the firstborn among many brethren. Well, what image is his son?
The Father's image.
You're saying he's going to die and resurrect?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, yeah, I'm not going to make y'all guess.
Yeah.
Now, this is something very fundamental here. In Romans 6, he says this. Just to tie this up. He says, okay, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, which would make him the what? The firstborn
from
the dead. That like as he was the firstborn from the dead, even so we also should be what?
Born from the dead.
Born from the dead. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be also in the likeness of his resurrection. What's that? if it's not the image? Okay, likeness, image. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. If you don't serve sin, you're what? Perfect. Okay. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Perfect image. Now all he does is what?
Worship and serve.
What?
The Father. Thank you very much. Now, but for the Hebrews, when they are perfected, they'll be in the kingdom. Doing what? Are you sure?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, where are we at? Verse
23, if you're in Hebrews.
And to Jesus, 24, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. You know, Abel, not Abel's blood, but the blood that Abel shed,
right,
which was a lamb.
Just an animal.
Just an animal. That didn't last long. It was a temporal sacrifice. But the Lord's blood spoke better things. It was eternal. See then, see that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he that promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom, there you go, which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Looks like that man is looking forward to being what?
Perfected.
For our God is a consuming fire. That writer is telling him, he says, if they didn't get by under the old, what do you think is going to happen when you reject the Son under the new?
Speaking to you from heaven.
That's
going through that Fuller soap treatment.
That's and he says, for our God is a consuming fire. It's the same one that you were scared of in the old. It's just a new offer. But he says, I'm going to shake again.
Shake both.
Both.
And not one.
Right. And he's encouraging them. That's encouraging, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. For those who cannot be shaken.
For those who cannot be shaken, right. That's why he said, you know what? Get those that are lame and weak, lest they be what? Turned out of the way. Go get them. So, 13. We're going to last chapter. We'll pick up 13, and who knows? That might be the last lesson. Maybe. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the time we spent in your word. We pray that tonight we've read a portion of scripture that you could work with as we continue to meditate on these things and give ourselves wholly to them. We just thank again for the time we spent here. We thank you for your son, in whose name we pray. Amen. Okay.